You undertook quite the adventure last summer, becoming, going from coast to coast here on a bike ride. Tell me a little bit about how that bike ride went.
Oh, it was so much fun. I am in St. Andrews, New Brunswick, and when I was 20, I bicycled across Canada with a group called Tour de Canada. But at 22, I got schizophrenia, and that took my life down a whole different path. And not to sugarcoat it or jump over it, but I was always wanting to do that trip again or other fun stuff like that. I improved every single week over 27 years, and in 2021, my symptoms just stopped. So the last 2 years have been pretty good for me. And last summer, I thought, you know what? I think I've got the health to do that trip again. I was pretty sure I could do it, like 99% sure I could do it. Anyway, so I got on my bike. I had a bit of money to start, but not enough money to continue. And it was almost like magic how people just kept donating and got me across Canada. People, a lot in Charlotte County, but other people I know online and in other places. And people across Canada who I met gave me money to get across. So I'm now the world's first person with schizophrenia to bicycle across Canada. And I still get emotional when I think about the people who donated to allow me to do that. I was just over the moon about that.
So, what was it like for you to, not only A, be able to bike across Canada, but at the same time to also be able to share your story and raise awareness when it comes to schizophrenia? Because, I mean, it is a topic that really I don't think is talked about enough.
Yeah, it felt so good to get that out of my system, to do that trip again, to after so many years of just being just run by the disease and not being able to do what I wanted and being in a lot of pain too and mental anguish. So just to be free to do that, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I know a lot of people wouldn't want to be on the side of the highway with trucks blaring by them, but for some reason, I really enjoy it. A lot of people do the trip too. There's a Facebook group for biking across Canada with, I think, 5,000 members in it or something.
Oh, wow.
People who want to do the trip or are curious about it or who have done it already. But yeah, and as far as schizophrenia goes, for the first time in my life, I had to talk to complete strangers about schizophrenia. I was forcing myself to do that. It was a fundraiser for the schizophrenia societies across Canada. Each province has one, and there's a national one too. And I said, you know what, Matthew? I was so quiet for my entire recovery about speaking about about just uttering the word schizophrenia in public. I had to really sniff people out before I would have a conversation about them with about schizophrenia. But this time out in the road, I'm like, "Hi, oh, you're biking. Where are you biking to and from?" And, "Oh, it's a fundraiser. Oh, for the Schizophrenia Society. Oh, great." Not one single person across Canada gave me a hard time about schizophrenia. They said, "Oh, great cause. Good for you. Oh, you've got schizophrenia. Great. Oh, you're doing this. Awesome. Great." And you know how with COVID, and we started talking about mental health out in the open so much more, and after years of saying, well, don't talk about mental health, hush, 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 because people might think you're a horrible person, blah, blah, blah. But were they really thinking that way decades ago? Really? I think it's just an urban myth, and I think the same thing about schizophrenia, too. I'm sure there's some people out there who don't want to talk to you about mental health and schizophrenia because they might think you're a bad person, sort of thing. But I think it's just an urban myth, and that because I think lots of people are just like we found out with COVID and mental health. So many of us are okay talking about mental illness. So yeah, I'm just trying to help burst that other stereotype about schizophrenia. Let's talk about schizophrenia too, because still after 30 years of having the disease, so many people say to me, "I don't know much about the disease," and a lot of people say, "I know someone who has it too." It affects 1% of the population worldwide, globally, in every country. So that's 80 million people worldwide.
Wow. And I know as part of this, not only were you raising awareness, you were also fundraising for schizophrenia societies across Canada and for the Mind Aid nonprofit. So how much were you able to raise as part of your journey?
That's sort of not really my fault, I guess. I just didn't know how to track the numbers that well because I wasn't accepting any money on my behalf.
Okay.
I steered people directly towards the schizophrenia societies to donate on their pages. I had a thing on my website that said put Mind Aid in the optional comment box on each of the society's donation pages. I don't think a lot of people did that. So I'm going to say in the thousands. I may have raised over $10,000. It was fairly low, but I was just chomping at the bit to get out there. I could have spent a year training this, but after 30 years of just being, not doing what I want to do. It was like being let out of jail. I just bolted. I was like, I want to do this. I'm going. And I did. So I'd love to do it again. If I did it again, I'd love to organize it better, be able to put on more events and reach more people, get more media. I did get some media, and thanks to you, I got some media when I went through St. John, too. So thank you.
Excellent. I love to hear that. And, of course, with all this, speaking of media, you know, you were able to, or there's been a film that's come out about your journey across Canada. Tell us a little bit about that film and how it kind of all came to be.
Yeah, so it's I was more focusing on my book when the ride ended. I had daily Facebook posts through the ride, and I wanted to put those all together and write some surrounding material and put a book together, which I am still working on. But soon after the trip ended, someone said, well, Matthew, why don't you take all your YouTube videos, because I made YouTube videos every day, and put them into a film. I'm like, oh, I guess I could do that. So, but I wasn't a filmmaker. I didn't know how, so half an hour later, I was on Facebook saying, does anybody have any video editing skills? And then almost minutes later, someone said, yeah, I do. It's the guy I grew up with. And so anyway, through the winter, we worked on that. And in January, I think, we put it out. And it's 32 minutes long. It's for sale on my website right now. And yeah, it's made from the YouTube videos, which weren't the best quality videos. It was filmed in 720. I should have filmed it in HD. I had my smartphone with me on the trip, and I was just very conscious of not using up too much data because I didn't want to have to be somewhere and not have enough data or phone or power or whatever, because I needed the phone to find out, you know, where's my next campground or gas station or food or that sort of thing. I was very conscious of getting across Canada safely. So anyway, we're very happy with the film. We've shown it a number of times live locally here in Charlotte County. And I went up to Fredericton to show it too in Sussex. And yeah, I'm open to showing it to people, and or people can look at it on my website. Yeah, very, very happy about that. People laugh. Some people tear up during it too, because it was very emotional for me, the trip. Yeah.
And you mentioned too the book that you're working on. So I imagine that's just going to be kind of a summary and almost a chronicle of your journey from coast to coast.
Yeah, I'll put all the daily Facebook posts in there, word for word, and I've already started. I've written a bunch of material surrounding it, just sort of how the trip started, sort of my story, other things about the trip that I didn't put in the Facebook posts each day. Also a section on how to bike across Canada or some other large distance like that. A lot of people are very daunted by that. I was daunted the first time and the second time. I'm like, oh my gosh, what are you doing, Matthew? Bike across Canada, oh my gosh, what are you doing? And it can prevent a lot of people from doing it. And I've got a lot of tips and tricks on how to just push through and get out there. The hardest part is getting to the starting line. If you can get to the starting line with a decent plan, decent gear, and things will just work out. Nothing's ever guaranteed. Things could go wrong. But if you start out and just take the first day and the second day and the third day, it works out for many people. Hundreds of people bike across Canada every summer. Hundreds. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely doable.
So what's next for you? I mean, I know you mentioned you haven't ruled out the possibility of potentially doing another bike ride across Canada at some point, but I understand you're also looking at potentially working to help organize some concerts as well.
Yeah, so in 2018, I made my website, mindaid.ca. It's the world's first website with all the groups helping people with mental illness in developing countries on one site. And when I made the website, I thought, you know, with the domain name, Mind Aid, I thought that could be like a mega concert, like Band Aid, Live Aid. So I'm working on that. I've got some people who might be interested in putting on a large concert like that. But I got thinking, well, what about after the concert's over, what about the next year and the next year? And I thought, what about small concerts, like locally or mid-size or large concerts? There could be concerts all over the world every year people could put on to raise money for this. So that's one thing I'm working on. If there are any musicians listening to this or people who know to put on concerts no matter where you are in the world, reach out to me, info@mindaid.ca, or on my social media, on my website. All my links to everything are on my website. I'm looking for speaking opportunities as well. I can give webinars. I can speak live virtually about schizophrenia. I've got a ton of mental health tips I can share with people. People skills, confidence, resilience, all sorts of things, tips by Navy SEALs, Olympic athletes, and I'll talk about mental health in developing countries. It's a vastly under-resourced cause, but there are groups helping. They use models of basic mental health care that are low-cost, proven effective, and scalable, and the World Health Organization is trying to figure out the best way to roll them out to the masses. In the meantime, I've found 10 nonprofits that I share in the donate section of MindAid, and they use these models, and they've been helping thousands of people get their mental health back. If you're in Africa and you are living in poverty and you can't get out of bed to feed your family because of depression, well, there's groups that can help you. I'm trying to raise awareness and steer funds towards them. We've got it bad here in North America and other developed countries. Our mental health care systems aren't the best, but we're working on them. But other people have it a lot worse. Some people are actually kept in chains with mental illness in some countries. But there's some big names helping and promoting and endorsing these 10 nonprofits of MindAid. Bill Clinton, Robin Williams' son, Zach Williams, Tim Schreiber, founder of the Special Olympics, the band Arcade Fire, Ashley Judd, the actress Allison Janney. There's work on this globally, and I'm just trying to get people's eyeballs on it. I would just like to say, if you're struggling with mental illness, hang in there. Stay hopeful. You have no idea. There are armies of people, thousands and thousands of people go to work every day around the world trying to find treatments and cures for us. And when you're depressed, you can think, well, you know, this is the way it's always going to be. You don't know that. I know sometimes there's nothing you can do about things in life, but there are things that can change, and you never know what's going to happen. You never know. You never know what tomorrow may bring. And I just try to encourage people to keep fighting for another day. Keep fighting for another day, because it's possible. It's possible to recover. It's possible for new things to be discovered. And you're a very valuable person, and I'm just trying to, because you... With low self-esteem and mental illness, we can really put ourselves down, and I'm just trying to build you up. You're a wonderful person. You're valuable, and I would love to have you here for another day.